from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the re-wrap for Tuesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB. And this morning we've got a Trump date for you. Angry speech from the US president today. We've got babysitting cleaners, or are they cleaning babysitters? I don't know, but we'll see if we can find out. A food caravan in the UK. It might not be what you think. And another update as well. VW, I bet you thought that was all over. But before any of this, the rich list is out.
And then we had the headline, Walk a Mile in My Shoes. The inference being the rich are ludicrously so, and those who have nothing have it tough, all of which, of course, is true. But where does any of this get us? In every Western democracy, as opposed to dictatorships or communist backwaters or corrupt regimes, you have people with a lot of money. And you have some people with no money, and the rest of us are somewhere in the middle. There is no point in resenting wealth. It isn't going to change anything. And if there is an upside to the rich list, what you will find if you look with an open mind is that many on that list are there not because they sought to be rich, but because they did what they loved. And as it turned out, they happened to make some money doing it. Peter Jackson made movies long before the $600 million rolled in, and I'm sure Lord and Lydia Ko are of the same approach. I don't even know if they've made the list, but they're worth a bit these days as a result of doing what they love, and that is the key to all of this. Yes, some people got into business to be successful, and thank the Lord they do, because they by and large, as a result of their success, add to our country. They employ, they connect to the world, they sell and tell our story. If I've got one hope out of all of this, it's that no, we don't idolise the rich, we don't segregate them as better or superior, but for those who find it all a bit of a hurdle, we get over the bagging of success. Success comes in all forms, sometimes it's monetary. It needs to be celebrated more and run down less.
Just so we're absolutely clear, I have absolutely no problem with you bagging me if I become super rich. If that's the only thing that's stopping me from becoming super rich is that people are worried that people will bag me, don't worry, I can handle it. Somebody who is super rich has been, is he currently bankrupt? It's so hard to keep up with him. Anyway, Donald Trump, very angry that he can't get this healthcare thing through.
And what we've extrapolated from the Trump speech, which continues on in Washington at the moment, is that there is not a single Democrat who is voting for a replacement or repeal of Obamacare, not surprisingly. But the important point of it is that he's got the numbers in terms of Republicans. There are more Republicans than required to do it, but they just cannot round them up and get them on board. And your fundamental issue with the Republicans is you've got the group of the hardcores who say whatever replacement they've dreamed up so far doesn't go far enough. And you've got the liberal Republicans who are saying what they've dreamed up so far cuts too many people out and it's not fair. So in other words, they cannot get a chorus of people together with the numbers to get it through. So what Trump's done this morning is lined up a whole bunch of families with health problems and gone, it's not fair, it's not right, you've all lied, it's horrible, it's nasty, I don't like it, I wasn't meeting the Russians, and various other issues that have gone on with this campaign at the moment. I was thinking in America last week, this healthcare thing was a very, very big deal. The fact that you can have the numbers in the House of Representatives and the Senate and be in the White House and still not pass a bill speaks to the quality of the presidency, and he is in deep, deep trouble. I've been a big supporter of his based on the fact that he won fair and square. In a democratic process, he went to the people of America, said, here's my plan, if you like it, vote for me. They did. He's the president. You can't argue with that. And he's faced tremendous amounts of backlash from skullduggerous lowlifes who are desperate to see him fail. He's not helped himself, of course, but fundamentally, his success or otherwise will come from delivering the basic promises that he said he would deliver on. Healthcare, jobs, walls, tariffs, immigration, etc. And he has delivered, short of Gorsuch in the court, he's delivered on literally nothing. Literally nothing, and yet he has the numbers on healthcare. He's got the numbers on healthcare within his party, and he still can't get it through. And that's the sort of thing that will eventually, you know what, sink him.
Yeah, I feel like the whole speech today would have gone a lot better if he'd started a bit better, because he got his figures wrong right at the very beginning of the speech when he said,
for the past 17 years, Obamacare has wreaked havoc on the lives of innocent, hardworking 17. Americans.
17, quite go back quite that far,
no.
Does it? No. Whoops.
Yeah, it was a weird thing, because it was like right at the beginning of the speech, he was looking straight down the barrel of the camera and said completely the wrong words. So he's in charge of us, that guy. Everybody in the world. Now, if you think that it's a good idea for your babysitter to also clean your house, you might be interested in this.
Now, how are you vetting those people? Because we've talked many times on this program about the inability of so many people to hire really good talent. Are you having trouble with good people?
No, I'm actually... sorry, I've got the morning voice of the mum.
That's right.
We police check, we interview, we reference check, and we make sure everyone has first aid certificates. And at the moment, all of our series are either early childhood teachers, qualified nannies, or mums. And that's just the people that have been applying. The calibre is really high, so it's not hard at all in this industry.
Geez, you're tapping into a resource there. Because now, what about the babysitting market? In my experience, cracking the babysitting market is difficult because it's frequented by kids and family members. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we, before date night series began, we would always get the local teenager.
Mm.
And, you'd pay them cash at the end of the night. But you're paying them to have kids that are asleep. They watch your Netflix, they drink your hot drinks, and they eat your cookies, and then they're done. It's just how it's always been. So a lot of families can't afford to have a cleaner. That's a luxury. If I could have a cleaner every week, that would be fantastic, but we don't. But we do hire babysitters.
Amazing, really, that they can find people to do this, because certainly housework and looking after children... probably my two least favourite things to do in the entire world. And, I think I'd rather die. Oh, boy, this all just got suddenly really depressing. Let's cheer ourselves up with some great food, courtesy of a food caravan in England. It's not like a food truck, though, as it turns out.
Miles, as far as you were concerned, how much of it was about food and how much of it was about coffee?
Listen, it was about both to start with. I mean, I kind of came on board to take care of the food side, and sort of found myself roasting coffee through the night as well. So personally, it was kind of about both. The two businesses really kind of work hand in hand, and they've sort of fed off each other over the years. It's been fantastic.
Having been to London in the last, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, I've been 4 or 5 times, I would have regarded London as a reasonably good coffee city. Is that fair enough?
And getting better every day, yeah.
And you've been a major part of that. What was it like when you arrived?
I guess there was probably only a couple of people doing good coffee. There was the first kind of specialty roaster in London was a company called Monmouth Coffee, and they kind of had the scene wrapped up. And they'd been around, I think they've been, Laura might be able to help us out here, they've been around for
17
or 18 years. 1978, was it? Yeah, right, there you go. It's always the one with the stats. I love it.
Was there a bit of sort of passive-aggressive, we've been hanging out together too long kind of stuff going on there, or was it just satellite lag? Not sure. I'm sick of getting these chefs and restaurant owners and things on the show and then not actually having any food here. We've got a sort of a loose policy when we have musicians in the studio that they're not allowed to come in unless they sing us a song. I really feel like that with people who make food, we should not grant the interview unless they're prepared to make us some food, or at least send us some. That's not too much to ask, is it? Apparently it is, because it hasn't happened. Hey, VW update. Remember this scandal? Mike does, and he's got further developments.
Oh, my Lord, I can't believe it. I go away for 2 weeks and the whole VW thing. I haven't talked much about the VW thing, the emissions scandal, for a while now. It seemed to have been flushed through. The most fascinating aspect of the story was that despite VW's many and varied troubles and various jurisdictions around the world and the billions of dollars in fines and legal difficulties they face, they hadn't lost sales. In other words, basically around the world, when you go to buy a car, you don't care. I mean, the fact that VW made it all up doesn't really seem to matter to the consumer. What's really interesting now is the suggestion over the weekend, this collusion right throughout the German motor industry. You're talking about Volkswagen, BMW and Daimler. And so in that sense, we've got deep, deep, deep trouble. The European Commission, they're looking into this. Spiegel magazine seems to be running this. The evidence of the collusion, by the way, was uncovered by chance. When the prosecutors raided VW, looking into suspicions of separate cartel issues involving steel. So they were looking at steel, came across the emissions, pinged VW for that. Now the inference or suggestion is it's not just VW, it's BMW, it's Daimler. They've been doing it for years. So Lord knows, I suppose the really fascinating part about that is, if that's true, do we all hold our hands up in shock and horror, or do we go, oh, well, and just go out and buy a car like we have with a BMW?
I've got mixed feelings because, I mean, obviously it's probably bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a cartel that actually makes cars...
They're onto something.
That's cool. Or is that just a place where cars can go and stay the night? Or have I been watching too many Cars movies? Stop making 12-year-old style dad jokes, VNZB, and finish the podcast. That was the re-wrap for Tuesday. I am Glenn ZB. I would like to promise the jokes will be better tomorrow, but really it'll only be the wrapping that will be better tomorrow. I'll see you then.